Welcome back to Save Your Money, Save Your Teeth, the podcast where we help listeners cut through the confusion and make smarter dental decisions. Now today, Dr. Clifford Udelman from OptiSmile joins us again to unpack a topic that can be surprisingly controversial, and that is biological dentistry versus evidence-based dentistry. What is helpful, what is hype, and also how can patients tell the difference? Dr. Udelman, welcome back.
Thanks for having me back, and I'm really looking forward to making a few enemies today.
Oh, and I'm looking forward to seeing it happen. Okay, so let's start off with the difference between a biological dentist and a traditional dentist. What is that difference?
The term biological dentistry is not a formally recognized specialty. It's a philosophy, and it's not a regulated discipline. And in its best form, it reflects an interest in how dental treatments affect the whole body. But in its worst form, it can drift into claims that are not supported by evidence. So evidence-based dentistry, by contrast, is defined very clearly. It combines the best available scientific research, the clinician's expertise, and the patient's values. And this approach is endorsed by international dental organizations and taught at universities worldwide. And the distinction is this, is evidence-based dentistry asks, what does high-quality research show is safe and effective? And biological dentistry sometimes starts with a belief and then looks for supporting arguments. So, you know, I don't want to repeat that, but it's very important to know the difference between the two. And, you know, at OptiSmile, the guiding principle is always evidence first. And, you know, the whole body health matters very deeply, but the claims must be grounded in science and not ideology.
Now, doctor, why would you say is there so much controversy around fluoride in the biological community?
Well, I knew you were going to just jump right in with the fluoride there. So, you know, fluoride is one of the most studied substances in public health. We've done a few podcasts that talk about fluoride, and decades of high quality research show that fluoride, only in appropriate doses, significantly reduces tooth decay. And then the controversy arises largely from a misunderstanding of dose versus toxicity. So almost any substance, including water, can be harmful at extreme levels. And the fluoride concentrations used in water, in toothpaste, and in water fluoridation are far below toxic thresholds. And systematic reviews from reputable organizations consistently conclude that fluoride is safe and effective when it's used as recommended. Claims linking fluoride to widespread systemic disease are not supported by any kind of robust evidence. And a scientific approach acknowledges both benefits and risks. It weighs up the evidence and it avoids any fear-based messaging.
Okay, well, my dentist once told me that she had a patient who said she may not touch that silver filling in her mouth. Under no circumstances can she even touch it or remove it. She started screaming at her, actually. So that brings me to this question. What is the story about silver fillings and removal safety? What is the scientific stance on amalgam or silver?
The dental amalgam contains mercury in a somewhat stable and bound form. And you know, there's large-scale studies that have found that there's no evidence widespread that actually amalgam fillings causes systemic illness in the general population. And, you know, that said, unnecessary removal of amalgam can actually increase mercury exposure temporarily and also damage your tooth. And there's, you know, we've spoken about this before. There's a lot of other reasons why we remove silver fillings, like fractures or decay, or that the tooth is cracking. But to just go and routinely remove all of somebody's fillings and promise them that whatever disease they have is going to get better, if someone's got a torn meniscus or arthritis in their hip, you know, to tell them that, you know, if I take out all your silver fillings, you know, all of that's going to miraculously disappear, That's the issue that I have. If those amalgam fillings are causing cracks or have other, you know, other reasons to remove them other than the mercury, then I'm all for that, but done the proper way. And this claim that, you know, routine amalgam removal detoxifies the body is not really supported by science. And also, you know, preserving tooth structure. So someone who says, no, we've got to remove all your fillings and then drill your teeth down and put zirconia crowns or fill your teeth up with some woo-woo biological tested special composite fillings that won't, you know, give you ovarian cancer, that's where we're getting into a bit of a gray area.
Okay, I remember watching a documentary once on root canals, and funny enough, I watched it just a couple of days before I had a root canal done on my own tooth, and it scared me, to be honest, because, you know, they're basically saying that these root canals are toxic, and they're slowly but surely poisoning you. Are these root canals really as toxic as some of these documentaries claim, Doctor?
Absolutely not. Those documentaries are been shown that, you know, this is nonsense. It's actually been shown that those documentaries are nonsense. You know, root canal treatment is one of the most thoroughly studied procedures in dentistry, and high quality evidence shows that a properly performed root canal removes infection, eliminates pain, and preserves your natural teeth. And, you know, the theory that they cause systemic disease originated from poorly designed studies over 100 years ago, and it's been repeatedly disproven. And modern microbiology imaging and materials have dramatically improved outcomes, and reputable medical and dental organizations worldwide support root canal therapy as safe and effective. And you know, these fear-based documentaries often rely on outdated and misrepresented data rather than on current science. In my own words, you know, it's a lot of hogwash.
I wish we had this conversation last year. I was so scared. Okay, but now we know. Okay, and what does biocompatible mean, Doctor, when you choose your dental materials?
So that's what I was talking about earlier with this whole biocompatible thing. There's this biocompatible, which means a material performs its intended function without causing harm to the surrounding tissues. So all modern dental materials are tested extensively for biocompatibility before approval. And no material is completely inert, but the goal is predictable performance, durability, and minimal adverse response. And, you know, marketing claims sometimes misuse the term biocompatible to imply like a superiority without evidence. And, you know, evidence-based dentistry relies on clinical trials, not labels. And the material choice should be guided by indication, you know, when and when this should and shouldn't be used, longevity, which is how long something may last, and proven outcomes. When I talk about these biocompatible composites, I've had a patient email me just last week, and they copied about 20 other dentists in, and it was a whole, it was quite funny because people were replying to all, and it was interesting to see what other dentists were saying. But basically they asked about, do we use X and Y product that doesn't have this and that in it? And they were looking specifically for one of these kind of dentists. Maybe they had seen something on TikTok or social media, or watched a documentary somewhere. And yeah, a lot of the time, I think these types of practices are just really looking to appeal to people that are a little on the paranoid side when it comes to these types of things. And this episode today is to sort of try and level things out for people that might be walking into a bit of a mismatch. Yeah.
And then at OptiSmile, how do you balance holistic health with scientific evidence?
So we've spoken about this a few times. You know, whole body health is inseparable from oral health. And your gum disease, for example, is linked to diabetes and cardiovascular disease. And this connection is well supported by research. And the balance lies in respecting these links without overreaching. You know, we can tell patients about this and we can refer them. I'm often referring people to get a blood test to check for diabetes, or sending someone to an ENT, or even recommending someone see a cardiologist and discussing their general health. I often send people for sleep studies, and I diagnose sleep apnea. Every other week, I'm finding someone with sleep apnea. And we've had quite a few podcasts on that as well. And the thing is, it doesn't replace seeing an actual doctor. The dentist, you know, we specialize in the oral cavity, and yes, there is an overlap, and the whole body is important, and we want to support all of that, and we want to make the help the person to be healthy. But we can't now start acting like doctors and start diagnosing, you know, all other things. And at OptiSmile, the approach is what we call integrative but conservative, and we use science to guide the decisions, you know, while recognizing each patient as being unique.
And then we come to ozone therapy. What on earth is ozone therapy, and does it actually work for teeth?
So, you know, years ago, I went and did a course. It was the guy was just, you know, ozone will cure anything. You can stick it in your eye. You can stick it in your ear. It's like a gift to mankind. And, you know, it's got antimicrobial properties, and it has been, you know, studied as an adjunct in dentistry, something that we can use. And some of the evidence shows that it can reduce bacteria in certain situations. The current systematic reviews don't support ozone as a replacement for conventional treatments, such as cleaning out a cavity and putting in a filling. Some of these things where they claim that it can actually heal a cavity without doing any treatment, where you put this little suction cup on the top of the tooth and you just pump ozone into the tooth, you know, for whatever it was, I can't remember, 10 minutes, and then you charge the patient, you know, was Australian dollars in those days. You charge him whatever, $100 for a 10-minute treatment, and maybe for $120, you could have numbed it and drilled it and put a filling in. And the one has got a lot of research behind it, and the other one is still, even after all these years, it's still a little bit not mainstream. And, you know, you can use ozone as an adjunct, or if you don't have anything better to use. And again, it's not mainstream. I haven't done any research more recently, say in the last 6 or 12 months, but since you asked that, as far as I know currently, you know, we haven't really found a use for it in our practice.
And doctor, why should patients be wary of metal-free claims if it's not backed by science?
So metal-free, you know, I don't see that too much these days, but it was a big thing about, like, that you don't do amalgam, you only do composite, or the original crowns were porcelain fused to gold, and the gold was it's called high noble gold and palladium, platinum. They're very inert materials in the body. And then a lot of, like, copycat porcelain fused to what's called base metals, where they could be toxic, where they had nickel and so on. And they did get a bad rap. But, you know, almost everything is metal free these days because we have much better materials. We have lithium disilicate EMAX that we bond to teeth really well. We've got zirconia, which we bond to teeth. That's very, very strong. And that's actually zirconia. The gum will actually almost try and glue itself to a zirconia crown. That's how inert it is. And, you know, the absence of metal doesn't automatically make a restoration safer or healthier. Every material has got its strengths and limitations. And, you know, that being said, you know, some patients are very well served by chrome cobalt dentures that have been around for years and years. And I don't think anyone's died from having a chrome cobalt denture. It's like a denture that's got a metal framework, and then you've got acrylic or ceramic teeth on top of it. And this metal-free story, that's often used where people won't use titanium implants, which is the most thoroughly researched metal for any kind of hip replacement, or if you break a bone and they put pins and plates, or someone breaks their jaw, you know, they end up with these titanium screws and titanium. And then you get these dentists that are going to pull out all your teeth that have got root canals because they're giving you cancer, take out all your silver fillings and put in some kind of plastic that might degrade after a couple of years, or even pull your teeth out and then give you a ceramic implants that, yeah, there are some good ones now and so on, but they charge, you know, twice the price as a titanium one, and they bad mouth that titanium will kill you. You know, these are the things that I'm trying to warn people about is if, you know, you want things that are based on material selection, that's based on function, how it works, you know, the longevity, how long it's going to last, the safety, and not just an ideology like, oh, no, we don't do that, that's bad. You know, watch this documentary that says it's bad. You know, that's not evidence-based.
Yes, absolutely. And do you think it's possible for a dentist to be both high-tech and holistic?
Absolutely. In fact, modern dentistry increasingly blends advanced dentistry with preventative and patient-centered care. You know, we've spoken a lot about digital imaging, minimally invasive restorations, a personalized risk assessment, you know, spending an hour and a half for a new patient exam and going through every little nook and cranny and discussing saliva, discussing forces, discussing diet, discussing oral hygiene, measuring the gums, using AI to check the x-rays, discussing if someone's had their blood sugar tested, all of these things. You know, I think a lot of good dentists these days, you know, support this holistic approach, but only that's ones that, you know, one that's grounded in science, not some ideology about root canals being bad and titanium being bad, and the only thing that's good is something that I do, and I'm the only one in town that does that. There's one in every town. Just like I said, you don't have to go to Turkey to get turkey teeth. You know, you don't have to go to California to find a biologic dentist. There's I'm sure more than one in Cape Town. There might be one in Joburg. I'm not sure. In Perth, there were two or three. There's a biological or biologic dentist everywhere. And, you know, if a biologic dentist is listening to this and you don't like it, then tune out, make your own podcast.
Oh, that was funny. Okay.
Talking of which, there is one of these guys on Instagram and TikTok, and there was a guy in one of my WhatsApp groups. There's about 600 regular dentists, digital and cosmetic dentists, on this WhatsApp group. And this one particular guy kept posting. I can't remember his name. He's got like a Czechoslovakian name, and he goes by a different name. He's got like a stage name. And he posts all the stuff that I've been telling you about. That's one of the things that actually inspired me to do this podcast, and then it just only came to mind now because I wrote the questions for this podcast quite a while ago, and some of the stuff's only coming back to me now. But it's very entertaining. I won't mention his name now because I actually can't remember it. But he goes by Doc someone or other, and that's the kind of stuff people watch. And he's got thousands of followers.
Of course.
And as soon as you watch that, he's very good. He's very, you know, I watched that Uri Geller make an airplane disappear. And I believed that. I mean, I saw it with my own eyes, you know.
Oh, you got to be so careful with social media, hey?
Yes, yes.
Finally, doctor, what questions should patients ask to ensure they aren't getting, and I love saying this word, quackery?
Quackery. Well, that's your word, not mine. So quackery, that's an interesting word. It goes back probably to the days where there were a lot of ducks running around quacking. snake oil salesman. Quackery is someone that I think promises a treatment that's not, you know, grounded in science or evidence-based, So, you know, you could ask what evidence supports this treatment. Is it supported by something that's called peer-reviewed research? You know, these days you've got something like ChatGPT, you've got Gemini, you've got Claude. You can just ask your favorite AI, make sure you ask the question the correct way. You could ask for, you know, you say, can you give me peer-reviewed journal articles, a summary of why titanium implants may be toxic and why ceramic implants may be better for you, or whatever it is that this dentist is asking. And, you know, when it comes to things like implants or pulling out teeth that are perfectly good, that have root canals, that people are telling you cause arthritis or heart disease, or they're going to give you cancer. You know, those are the times where one should really get a second opinion. And it can't all be a big conspiracy. You know, if every major dental organization around the world, you know, recommends X or Y, and there's one guy in every town that says, no, everybody else is wrong, I'm the only correct one, you know, then it's up to you to make your own mistakes.
Yeah.
You know, transparency, you know, willingness to explain, you know, those are things that show if someone's ethical and if they're going to do evidence-based care. I think I better shut up before I get into trouble here.
we've run out of questions anyway, so it's all right. And out of time. But I think this was a really important conversation, because, you know, patients are often caught between fear-based claims. Oh, so often fear-based and genuine health concerns. So a big thank you to you, Dr. Clifford Udelman from OptiSmile, for your insights today.
Thank you. Thank you. Appreciate it. And looking forward to speaking to you next week.
Absolutely. Looking forward to it. And do join us again next time here on Save Your Money, Save Your Teeth, where we keep helping you protect your smile, your health, and also your wallet.
Discover the world of dental excellence with OptiSmile. Join us for a weekly podcast featuring Dr. Clifford Udelman, a seasoned expert with 40 years of dental experience across four continents. Gain unique insights and expert dental advice by visiting optismile.co.za for articles that illuminate the path to optimal oral health. If you're seeking unparalleled dental care in Cape Town, get in touch with OptiSmile or book directly online on optismile.co.za. OptiSmile, where global expertise meets local care.